already. Well, good morning, family. If you do not have a bulletin yet, I want to ask that we go ahead and this is the family room, so there's grace. You can just get up and get a bulletin. There's no judgment if you didn't get one already. If you could get a bulletin and get a pen, I think you're going to need it. Like everybody, yeah, you're going to need something to write with. You're going to need a bulletin this morning. And things did get switched up from what I put. Oh, what happened?
It's open for notes.
Oh, wow. Some of them didn't print. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's the second one that I've seen.
Really? Okay. That's weird.
Give it to my wife. She says, I like
it. Well, I'll try to be chatty so we can fill it up. Well, evidently, yeah, a few bulletins didn't have everything in there, but... So everybody get a bulletin, please, a pen or a pencil. There's some at the back if you didn't get any at that entrance. There's some up here. So let me pray for this time, and we'll get into the Word here in a minute. We're going to look at 1 Samuel 16 and 17, which is different than what I put in the bulletin last week. So please forgive that redirection, that swerve that the Lord gave us with that. So. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know in your word, as we prayed about in my group over there this morning, God, that it says that the enemy, that Satan has blinded people's eyes. And God, we know that even as your children, that we can be really distracted and not see what you want us to see, God. So we pray this morning in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would help us, God, that you would help us to see your activity, your presence, your works in our lives, God, as we look to the Word. Help us, Lord, in our ears to really hear what you have to say in your Word this morning, God. Help our hearts to be impacted and transformed, God, that we would really understand your will and walk in it. Lord, we ask this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first activity today, before we really get into the Word, I want to have a getting to know each other time. It's good for families to get to know each other. And so whether this is with friends here or whether maybe you'll share this with your biological family later, I may chase squirrels and not do it, but I intend to get on Facebook later. Some of you may not know, we've got a page, a private page on Facebook. There's a public page for Here's Hope. There's a private page called the Community Group where we share prayer requests and things. So if you're not on the private page, let me know and we'll get you on there. It's for those who are part of Here's Hope Church. So anyway, later on the private page, I hope to maybe start a dialogue. There's a chat area and we can talk about our answers to these questions this morning, our getting to know each other things and some of our responses to the Word of God. I'd like to share that with each other today. So we'll start out with something easy. Talk about where you would choose to live. So I'd like you to write an answer because I want you to share this with your family, whoever that is. Would you rather live at the beach or near the beach? Would you rather live in the mountains or would you rather live maybe around cornfields like here in Indiana? Or maybe your answer is I'd rather live near the desert. You know, whatever your answer is to that, where would you choose to live? If you could live it, we'll just say anywhere in America, where would you like to live?
House.
Okay, let's talk about something a little more abstract. Okay, how about if you could have superpowers? Would you choose to have super strength? Or would you choose to be able to turn invisible? Maybe be able to fly? What would be your superpower? Maybe read minds. Somebody might want to be. If you could have a superpower, what would it be? What was that?
Fire.
Okay. All right. That's legit. Yeah, write that down. What would be your superpower? Okay, let's think of something eco-friendly, something involving God's critters that he made. So if you could pick an activity, you can either swim with dolphins, or maybe dance with friendly bears, like trained bears who aren't going to eat you, right? You could dance with bears, swim with dolphins, Or maybe you could go running through the woods with some friendly wolves, a pack of wolves. And none of them are going to hurt you. You're just having fun. What activity would you choose to do? Are you a swimmer or a runner or a dancer? What would you like to do? And then you can share this with each other later. Okay, let's talk about time for a minute. I heard somebody say something earlier about being an 80s child, being raised in the 80s. Okay, so let's say you could pick a time period to live in. You could be in the 1980s again, if you like the 80s. Or maybe 100 years earlier. What about the 1880s, the end of the Victorian era? Maybe you like that. Or maybe you'd like to see the future, the 2080s. 60 years. What would you? Yes. This is just for discussion's sake. I think Jesus is coming way back before that. So, okay. Let's talk about your love language. Okay, would you rather kiss a frog or hug a porcupine or hold hands with a cockroach? Which would you pick? If you had to pick one, which would be your pick? And it might surprise you. You know, somebody that you think you know their answer. Okay, let's talk about personal attributes. Hug a monkey, okay. Monkeys are cute. Yeah. Okay, personal attributes. Would you rather be a lot smarter than you are?
Yes.
Or physically a lot stronger, maybe?
Stronger.
Or maybe just have stronger trust in the Lord? Which would you pick? Okay, I'll give you a last one here. You're going into a fight with a giant. Would you rather face him with a pool noodle or a sword and shield or with some stones and a slingshot? Yeah.
Pickaxe.
Hey, you can make up your own answers. You don't have to go with any of mine. That's okay. And actually, as we look at the Word of God today, we're going to talk about some attributes of God and how we respond to those. And I'm going to share my responses, but those don't have to be your responses. You can respond how God leads you today, and that's something we're going to share as well. So, 2024, it's almost here. I have not a whole lot of clue. I don't really get into predicting the future, or I don't know what all is going to be involved, but I think in 2024, all of us are going to face some giants in our lives. We're all going to face some things externally that are going to be a struggle. We're all going to face things internally in ourselves that are going to be very hard, that are going to be a struggle. There's going to be all kinds of wonderful blessings and goodness and beauty, I think, as well, because God is with us. But there's going to be challenges. And the good news this morning is that God is able to handle all those challenges. No matter what that battle is, no matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how totally impossible it is for you to deal with, to come out victorious, God is able. God is able. We're going to see that today in the Word of God. So we're going to look at a famous story, you've probably guessed it, in the Old Testament today. We're going to look at a man from Bethlehem, other than Jesus, one of his great, 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 does anybody know how many greats? I don't know how many, a lot of greats back. 100, well, I don't know, but a lot of greats back. One of his grandfathers, a man named David. And David lives in a time, I don't know what the prayer huddle was like where you were this morning, but it wasn't a new aha, but it seemed pretty evident. It's like, wow, this is a dark time. This is really, man, it's kind of rough out there. You know, as we share these prayer requests and these things that we struggle with. And David's time was like that. There was a king named Saul who was not a good king. At least turned out that way. Things kind of went south. And David, as we're entering into the story here, things are starting to go really bad with Saul. There is national strife. The Israelite army is having a face-off with the Philistine army. They're on opposing hillsides here, and there's this valley below, and it could just turn into a bloodbath. And there's personal strife for King Saul. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel Chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14, we see King Saul, and God's word says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord," and this is a different time, God's Spirit would come upon people and leave, not like now, where we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit as God's people, trusting in Christ. And but God's Word says the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So God has allowed, Saul has really turned his back on God. He's living in disobedience, and God has allowed the result. You know, there's consequences. And so there's this torment, not only on the outside of Saul and what he's trying to deal with as a king, but internally. This is a tormented man with a lot of struggle. And his advisors, his friends, say, King Saul, what you need to help you chillax and to feel better, you need some great music. You know, you need some just soothing. I don't know, you know, what that would have been. But so they said, you need to find somebody who can play some beautiful music that's just going to take you away, you know, from your troubles and help you just to relax. And so they recommend this, and they ask around, and they hear about this young guy named David, who's very good on the lyre. I don't know, is that kind of like a ukulele or what? Do we have an equivalent? A hand harp, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I've seen them, but I don't know how they're played. I know it's a stringed instrument, but this guy, David, he's very young. He's probably a teenager. His dad's name is Jesse. If you skip down to verse 21 there, it says, David came to Saul. Saul had sent for him, and he entered into his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. Whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, this torment came upon Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the spirit, the evil spirit, would leave him. You know, really cool thing about all this that I see in all this is that, you know, we're coming to this battle between David and Goliath, but before any of that happens, God is working. God is working in Saul's disobedience. God is working in what he's allowing spiritually to go on inside of Saul. God is working on the outside with this battle against the Philistines. God is working in everything because God is sovereign. God is in control, and he's arranging everything. So in this situation, David has some brothers who are in the Israelite army. I think three brothers who are in the Israelite army. And most of you probably know that young David, along with being an armor bearer, is also a shepherd. He helps with his father's flocks. He watches over them. The Philistines have this guy named Goliath of Gath, and he is huge. A lot of the kids know from seeing from kids' church that cutout. 9 feet tall, right? 9 feet plus? I don't know, 9'6", depending on what you read. Yeah, I mean, he was humongous, right?
He's still up there in the kitchen.
Is he? Okay, great. So you need to go and see how massive. He's like the Hulk. I mean, he's just so huge and strong, and he's an experienced warrior.
They couldn't even fit him in the kids' room.
They couldn't even fit him in the kids' room. That's how big. He would probably be. Does anybody know how tall is this, Brad? Like Goliath, that about that tall?
What
he could use that as his personal mic, right? Up there on the ceiling.
We measured you, Jason.
What's that?
We measured you against him, and I think you came up to his waist.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I look like a little teeny tiny baby guy next to Goliath. So Goliath, he's not only huge and strong and skilled as a warrior, but he's a real loudmouth. And he is shouting these challenges, these curses against God's people, against the Israelite army, and really he's insulting God. And he's just in defiance. And each day he comes out and he says, I want you to choose somebody to face me. You guys think that you are all that, you Israelites, and you've got the real God. And if that's true, why don't you send somebody out to face me? And if your champion wins, we'll be your slaves, and if I win, then you'll be our slaves. So what do they do? Anybody remember? Well, what happens, not before David, though, what happens as far as Goliath goes? Does anybody face Goliath? They're terrified. They are scared to death. The Bible says that they run. When Goliath comes out, they're not only facing him, they are absolutely shaking in their boots or their sandals or whatever. They are so scared of him. So let's look at chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 10, and hear about David and Goliath. Goliath said, the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. They were scared. You guys ever have to face a situation or a challenge in your life where you were scared to face it? I have many times. Many times where I was afraid. Seemed like a situation where you couldn't win. We're just like, no matter what you do, this is not going to go well, right? How are you going to face it? For 40 days, Goliath taunts them and issues this challenge. David approaches the front lines. He's bringing some food for his brothers. He hears Goliath repeat this challenge again, and David looks around and he sees all these soldiers, and they're terrified. David sees it. He's like, what's going on with you guys? I hear this loudmouth speaking out against God, against his people, and you're all scared to death. What's going on? Verse 24 says that when the soldiers saw Goliath, they would run away. And word gets around, though, that if anybody is brave enough to face Goliath and can defeat him, that the king is going to give a great reward. There's going to be wealth. They'll get to marry the king's daughter, and the whole family of that individual is going to be exempt from taxes for a year. It's a pretty good motive. But they're all too scared to accept it. So in verse 26, David responds. David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's saying, who is this man who doesn't even know God? He's not even one of God's people. He doesn't know the living God. Who does this guy think he is that he would defy the armies of the living God? See, David isn't looking at the fact that he's 9 feet plus tall, that he's this great warrior, that he's got this heavy armor, that he's got this awesome spear and these weapons. And David's saying, this is a guy who doesn't know God. Why are you scared? Who does he think he is? Why is David so brave? He trusts God. Amen. He is not looking at the situation from just a physical point of view. He's looking at it from a spiritual point of view. He's saying, we're God's people. God is with us. Why be afraid? You know, there was something in David that everybody else couldn't see. I want to show you an illustration, which hopefully will be helpful this morning. So this is a bottle of 881. Does anybody else know about 881? Yeah? Kentucky's finest soft drink. They're coming up on their 100-year anniversary, I think, in like 3 years. So, yeah, they've stood against giants. Coke and Pepsi and others have tried to put them out of business over the years. And they have managed to slay those giants and survive. Kim and I actually took our kids, when they were all at home, to the 881 factory, where they make it. Were they making them? They didn't love it as much as I did. I thought it was like one of the coolest things. Yeah. So I've got this balloon. And I want to show you something interesting, an interesting experiment here. I have paper towels if this goes horribly wrong. So, balloon. So we got it. Yeah. You know how to resuscitate? Yeah, okay. That's okay. You can all dial 911. Somebody's got a phone if we need it. So David had something in him that others didn't see. So far, so good. Okay. That turned out great. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. See, everybody else, David's brothers and King Saul and everybody else is looking at all the stuff on the outside, but David had faith in God on the inside, and that's why he was so brave. He wasn't thinking about himself. You know, I have read before, and it might be true, that knowledge and wisdom are probably better than brawn, than just physical strength. But you know what's a lot better than brawn or intellect, faith. Trusting God, confidence in God is like the greatest asset you can have to face your battles. And that's what David had. The Spirit of the Lord was on him and he had faith in God. He trusted the Lord and that's why he was so brave. Pastor Adrian Rogers said that victory isn't your responsibility. Victory is not your responsibility. It's your response to God's ability. It's your response to God's ability. And that's what we need to know going into whatever the battles are that you're going to face in 2024, is that your confidence needs to be in God, not in yourself. You need to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You need to understand who He is, being in the Word every day, seeing the characteristics of God every day, and then responding to God's character. That's what prepares us for each of the battles. Confidence in God. That's what David had inside. See, even though you didn't know there was something in that balloon, it was baking soda. You couldn't see that. You didn't know that. But I knew that. And so I was perfectly willing to entrust that situation with the balloon that it was going to blow up and do what it was supposed to do. God is sovereign. God had sent His Spirit upon David, and God knew that David was the man for the job because he trusted in the Lord. That's where his confidence was. He had real faith. When you trust in God, God is able to work through you in ways that would surprise you, that would seem impossible. God's able to do things in your life, to fight battles for you when your confidence is in Him. Let's go ahead and turn in 1 Samuel 17 to verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. He's been a warrior from his youth." He's saying he's the Hulk. "You're a scrawny kid. Who do you think you are?" But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." And then verse 37, this would be a good place to maybe underline in your Bible if you're okay with that. "The Lord who rescued me, from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." David's not saying it's because I'm so skilled and experienced and awesome, or because I'm such a good shot with my sling and my stones. He's saying, "Listen, I am trusting in God. I have seen God's faithfulness. I have seen God work in impossible situations, and standing upon what I know in God and the past, I am ready to face this battle now." "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul, still thinking in the flesh, dressed David in his own tunic, kind of like a long t-shirt. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. "I can't go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose five small stones from the stream. He put them in a pouch of a shepherd's bag. And with his sling in hand, he approached the Philistine. I want you to understand something. I've read this story and heard this story probably far more than 100 times. And many times over, I've thought, you know, David was so, he just had such a great training against bears and against lions, and so he was ready to take down this giant. That's not at all what's going on. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. He is a punk kid, just like Saul said. There's no reason for him to be confident that he's going to go out against this huge, massive warrior with a helmet and armor and all this stuff, for him to think that he's possibly going to win this battle. But his trust is not in his weapons or his skill. His trust is in God. And so he confronts this strongest champion, this great warrior who's got a spear and a javelin and a sword. David's bringing something unseen into the battle. What's David bringing? Faith, yes. Faith, trust, confidence. He's confident in God. Even though Saul doesn't see it, even though nobody else sees it, God knows it's there. And God's ready to act and to help David. So here in chapter 17, starting in verse 41, tells us, meanwhile, the Philistine, Goliath, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and he saw that he was little more than a boy. He's barely older than some of the kids here. He was glowing with health, handsome. Goliath despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Not that David's an awesome warrior, but there is a God in Israel. "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." David was armed with confidence in God, and God gave him the victory over Goliath and the Philistines. Skip forward quite a ways. David does become the king. He's been anointed to be the king, and he becomes a great king. This has all been part of God's plan the whole time. God has orchestrated and arranged all this by his promises and his plan. So what giants are you going to face in 2024?
Satan.
Amen. And he's defeated by Jesus. Amen. You know, whatever giants you're going to face, I can tell you right now, without exception, where the victory is going to come from. From God, whom you can be confident in. No matter what the situation, David was in an impossible situation. And I know that we're seeing from the other side of it and we're thinking, well, he won, didn't he? There was no way he was going to win apart from God orchestrating that and arranging that and deciding that. The same thing is true. You're going to face giants this coming year. You're going to think, I'm scared to death. How am I going to face that? That's unwinnable. It's not unwinnable. It isn't unwinnable because of who he is, because of God. The great news is that your greatest enemies, who are your greatest enemies? Help me out. Satan, amen, that's one of who are your greatest enemies that it's impossible for you to beat on your own?
Sin.
Sin.
Sometimes myself.
Sometimes myself. What else?
Death.
Fantastic answers.
Right.
Amen, amen. The awesome news is Jesus was not afraid where you were afraid, where you should be afraid on your own. Jesus wasn't. Jesus faced those giants and he defeated them already on the cross. They're defeated. They can yell and shout and challenge you and try to make you scared, but the reality is they're already beaten. Jesus at the cross took on enemies that seemed impossible for you and I to ever beat, that all of the human race couldn't defeat, and Jesus defeated them for us. You know, a lot of times I think, I like to read into to Bible stories sometimes, and I think, I kind of identify with David. I don't identify with David. Most of the time I identify with his brothers and the rest of the Israelites. I'm scared to death. There's things that face me. There's giants in my life, and I'm just like, oh, God, I'm scared. I don't know how to have any victory in this. This is really... But the great thing is that I think we can do exactly what I think David was doing to have such confidence. We can remember who God is. We can remember who God is, and then we can respond in confidence in situations because of who God is. So let's recognize a few characteristics of God this morning. Write this down, if you would, please. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. That means he's in charge. You can write God reigns. You can write God's in charge. However you want to word that, God is in charge. God is sovereign. And that means God can call who he wants to call. He can do what he wants to do. He can save who he wants to save. He can work in any situation. Long before David ever faced Goliath, David's family was visited by a prophet named Samuel, and Samuel was going to anoint the next king. And he's visiting there with Jesse, David's father, and he sees all the other boys passing in front of him. And you guys remember what God says to Samuel? It's not him. It's not him. You know, Samuel's looking at these, he's a prophet of God, and he's still seeing with eyes of flesh. He's still thinking, man, that guy's big and strong, and that must be him. He must be the one I'm supposed to anoint. And God says, I haven't chosen him. God is sovereign. He is not depending upon our qualities. He doesn't look at the things that we look at. He doesn't look at appearances, but he sees the heart, and he knows that David's a man after his own heart who trusts him. And one of the first lessons for us to learn and recognize in the life of David is the sovereignty of God. That God chooses anybody he wants to be his instrument. He could have chosen so many people who were more skilled warriors, who were stronger or faster or smarter than David, but he says, you need to see me displayed in this kid and his trust in me. God can use anybody he wants. Again, victory is not your responsibility, Adrian Rogers said. It's your response to God's ability. David understood God's ability, that God is sovereign, no matter how the situation seems. So I would like you to write, what's your response in 2024 to the sovereignty of God? Knowing when you, whatever the battle is going to be for you that you enter into, and you come into a situation, maybe it's something with your job, maybe it's something personal in your life, whatever, maybe it's just wrestling with sin or temptation, whatever it is, you know God is sovereign, right? So how are you going to respond to that situation knowing that God is sovereign? What's your response going to be? I'll share my response that I wrote down as I was thinking about this. I want my response to be reverence. Instead of me being so focused on whatever the challenge is or the temptation or the battle or whatever it is, I want to be in awe of God because he's worthy of it. And I want to be so in awe of what an awesome God he is that I trust him and obey him no matter what. That's how I hope to respond to God being sovereign. A second characteristic or quality of God. God is good. God is good. And because he's good, that means his will is good. His choices are good. His desires are good. He's always right because he's always good. And so no matter what, you know, there might be a situation where I could maybe in my mind think, if I go this way, here's a provision that makes more sense. That'll get me more money, or that'll get me in a position to get my way. That's not what I need. I need to be on God's page because God's good. And whatever his will is the better thing. I think that's one of the things that David had in mind when he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? He understood Goliath is strong as far as strength of men go. He's strong. He's a great warrior. But David said, you know what? I believe that if I'm on God's side, I'm on the winning side because God's good. I think that's what he believed, and he entrusted himself to God. And he knew that, you know what? When I agree with God that he is present and that he's able, when I agree with God, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the right side, no matter what the opposition. In his case, incredible opposition with this warrior. No matter what's opposing you, God is good. God is good. So how are you going to respond to the goodness of God? You can write whatever your answer is. In 2024, right? I said, you know, because God is good, I want to face giants in my life with resolve. Anything deviating away from God is not good. Anything deviating away from the will of God is not good. Anything that is not the way of Jesus is not good. And so I want to be resolved to stick close to Jesus, to keep my eyes fixed on him no matter what the situation. Maybe particularly regarding temptation and sin. I want to have resolve. I want to stick with Jesus. A third attribute, God is faithful. God is faithful. And part of that means God is preparing you. He's preparing you with the experiences in your life to understand who he is so that when you come into situations that are overwhelming, you already know, God, you know, I'm not facing this lion on my own. I'm not facing this bear on my own. God is faithful, and he's prepared me for this. He's given me faith and confidence in him that I can face this and not be scared because I trust in the Lord. And he's faithful. He's here with me. You know, God was faithful to get David ready. It wasn't like God had sent David in and David had never experienced a miracle before. David had seen miracle after miracle in his life. And he understood that God is faithful and God is going to show up and show his glory and his strength and his wisdom. And God is faithful and he's going to fight for me. So in 2024, what's your response to God's faithfulness? When you face a battle, when you get in a situation and maybe he's going to put you in an impossible situation. Maybe it's a situation where you're going to be able to truthfully say, God, I can't do this. And then he's going to remind you that he's faithful and he can. He can face it, even if you can't, because he's there and he's faithful. What's your response going to be to that? I wrote that because God is faithful. Go ahead, if you want to share one of your answers. What's to the faithfulness of God? Anybody? What do you want your response to be to the faithfulness of God? To get strength from him? What else?
Trust and obey. Give him power.
To trust and obey, to receive power in our weakness? Amen. What else?
Thankfulness.
Yeah, to be thankful to God for his faithfulness. Amen.
Yes,
like joy.
Joy. Amen. Because he's faithful. Yeah, I kind of did the alliteration thing. All mine begin with R. I wrote reliance. Because he's faithful, I want to rely on him and not myself.
Love.
And I think, love, amen. Receive his love and love him back. But to me, reliance upon God means that I'm prayerful. If I'm not prayerful, I'm not really relying on him very much. Now, if I'm just running ahead and trying to deal with the situation without getting on my knees and saying, God, you're faithful. I'm looking for your provision. I want to rely on him, and I want to live it out in prayer. A fourth attribute for us to keep in mind is that God is wise. God is wise. Before David faced Goliath, Saul did what? What did Saul do for David? You guys remember? Grown-ups can answer too. What did Saul do to help David, to try to help him? Offered his armor. Yeah, here you go. Here's some armor. Here's some weaponry. Here's what you need. And David said what?
No.
He's like, I can't go in this. I can't use your armor. I can't use your weapons. How come? Yeah, he's like, I've never used this stuff. I don't know this. God had chosen David, not because David was a great warrior. David wasn't a warrior at all in the traditional sense. He hadn't gone to military school. He hadn't trained with the other soldiers. But God was wise in choosing David. And because of that, I think David understood, I don't have to be somebody else. I don't have to be my brothers who are in the army. I don't have to be who Saul's trying to make me into. God's wise. I don't know why, but God chose me for this battle because I'm trusting in him. And so because God is wise, that means I don't have to try to be somebody else. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, I think that we think somebody else needs to be like us. Or we need to be like them, right? To be used by God, but that's not true at all. You know, God chose you to face the battles you're going to face. And not to face it as somebody else, but to face it as you, trusting in him. So my response, what's your response to God, to his wisdom in your life? Anybody? What's your answer? Serenity?
Generous.
I got old ears. What was that?
Generous.
Generous? Yeah, God is generous. He is wise and generous.
Then he's enough.
He's enough, yeah. He's enough. He knows what he's doing. My response that I wrote is that, you know, because God is wise, whatever battles I'm facing, I don't have to be somebody else. Because God is wise, I can be me. Right? God made me. He made you. But it needs to be me who submitted to him. Okay? Not the part of me that is messy and gets things, you know, stupid and sinful. It needs to be the me that trusts in him, the me that surrenders to him. And I think that as you face the battles in your life, you need to understand that God is wise. He made you. You can be you, but it needs to be the you who's trusting in him and not yourself. For all of us. I want to be submitted to Christ because he's wise. Our fifth and final attribute of God this morning, God is present. God is present. He is the living God who is with you. And it's great to know your weapons. You know, it's great to know how to use that sling. If you're going to use that sling and those stones, that's wonderful. But your trust needs to be in the God who's with you, the God who's present. See, when David went to face Goliath, I think he probably took care of that sling. He probably knew it's not rotting, it's not going to break on me. He knew what stones to pick. He understood those things, but he wasn't counting on how familiar he was with those weapons. He knew the living God. And he knew that God is not some distant God far away. He's not an idol who's not involved. He knew that God is the living God who fights our battles and wins our battles. And he knew that God is with him, and so how are you going to respond to the fact that God is present? In 2024, when you have those unexpected battles that seem impossible, how are you going to respond to the presence of God?
Call on him.
That's a great answer. To know he's going to help you. Amen.
Yep. Is there
only God? Amen. Amen. He's the only God. We can't go to any other. Yep. We need to be intentional. Yep. Amen. We call upon the Lord. Amen. Josina? Yeah. Amen. He's always there for us. So here's what I wrote for my response to God being present in my life when I face battles this year, I want to respond with repentance. Go ahead, Joy. Did you have an answer? Yeah.
My other son. It sounded pretty good, but I did pray to God's will. And I got sick the very day I was supposed to leave. And I had neighbors that brought me medicine. And I was okay with spending Christmas by myself, but I wasn't really by myself.
Amen. God was present. Yep. Praise the Lord. So what's repentance? What's repentance? Anybody?
Choose to turn.
To turn. Yeah, if I turn, if I'm facing east, is that east? I think it's I'm not direct epileptic, honest. If that's east and I turn, then I'm turning toward and I'm turning away, right? I'm gonna face west. I got to turn away from east to turn west. God is present, but I don't want to just know that in my head as a theological point. I want to see and feel and know, but I have to turn toward him for that to happen. He's given me free will, and he's present, just like my beautiful wife is present with me. And I know that. But I have a choice to make. I can turn away, and I can choose not to see that. But I want to see. I want to see. And so every day of our life, we need to live a life of repentance where we are intentional to turn towards God who's there, who's always there, but to see that he's with me, to see how he's working in my life, and to turn away from anything that's not of him so that I can see that he's with me, so that I can know that and feel that.
Pastor, I felt the presence of the Lord when my husband passed away. I knew he gave me peace. I wasn't sad. I was sad because he was not here, but I was happy that his presence was with the Lord.
Amen.
His fight was already done. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to fight no more, and that was a peace of mind that I had. That the comfort that God gave me, he gave me such a peace of mind that I was not alone.
Amen.
And he's still with me. I have been so happy. I've been sick, but I've been happy.
Amen. It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Anybody doing resolutions this year? Do you guys do that, New Year's resolutions? It's okay. I mean, you know, if you want to. I want to live victoriously, whatever that is, in 2024. I think it means living in light of the fact that my greatest enemies have already been defeated. That Satan is defeated, that death is defeated, that sin is defeated, and knowing that Jesus has already won the day and rejoicing in that. And here's what I want to do for the upcoming year. I want to have remembrances and responses instead of resolutions. I want to have remembrances of who God is, and then I want to respond according to that. And I would just invite you, with those answers that you wrote down today about who God is and his character, whatever, however he leads you, to respond to who God is. Not just in the battles, but in everything. So, let's pray.